Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin 7 lines from the top of the Amid at the 2 dots. Hayashaychet v'hitis. The Mishnah warns against snapping downward and slicing down. It has to be an across, an horizontal sort of cutting motion. Otherwise, you're running into derasa issues, which is a disqualifying element in shechita. Now, suppose instead of going, forth and back, a two-way cut, he did just a single directional cut. He went just to or fro. Mishnah says sometimes it can work, provided the knife is long enough to effect a proper cut, to accommodate a proper cut despite the shortness of the motion. And the Mishnah says it works if the sakin is long enough, meloit savar, size of the neck. Imesh besakin meloit savar ksheru. So says the Mishnah. Again, hayeshechet behitis, the Mishnah speaking that he did a shechita with just a single swoop, a single motion. And if the sakin is meloit savar, it's kosher. What does that mean, meloit savar? So the neck, let's say, is 4 inches wide. Amar Rabbi Zeira, meloit savar v'chutz latzavar. The neck needs to be meloit savar, size of the neck, v'chutz latzavar plus a bit more to go beyond the neck, and that will accommodate a proper cut. The question was like this: What did he mean? 4 inches plus a drop, or does he mean 4 inches plus 4 inches? So it's twice the length of the neck, a total of 8 inches. Iboilu. When Rabbi Zera mentioned chuslet savar, he meant meloit savar v'chuslet savar k'meloit savar. Number one, meloit savar. It has to be 4 inches long. Number two, beyond the neck, v'chuslet savar, another 4 inches, which is a neck width, k'meloit savar, the havaluhu, which gives you a total of 8 inches, through a tzavari, the length of two necks. And that sort of compensates for the lack of back and forth motion. It gives you enough length, enough knife material to cut properly, despite it being a single directional cut. Or you can say, you don't need that much. Moleit tzavar, it needs to be the size of the neck. V'chutz latzavar mashon, just to drop a tad, a bit more than the neck. And that's enough to do the job. Tashmai comes a raya from the next part of the Mishnah, which speaks about a similar case. But instead of just a single animal, he lined up two side by side. Tashmai hayashechet v'hitis shnei roshin vasachas. So he did the shechita on both heads, vasachas, as one, in one swoop, in a single directional motion. So he didn't go back and forth, just a single cut, one way. Once again, it all depends on the length of the knife and if it has the ability to accommodate a proper cutting motion. Mishnah says, if the sakan is long enough, meloit savar echad, as long as one neck, which is 4 inches, then it's kosher. Now, what does that mean? Just 4 inches? So, in this case where it's two animals side by side, you mean you need less length than the previous halacha, which was just a single neck? How does that work? My meloit savar echad. What does the Mishnah mean when it says the length of a neck? Elam, does it mean meloit savar echad v'suloi, just the length of a neck and no more? And we're talking again about two animals side by side being shechted simultaneously. How could that work? Look, even by a single animal, we need more than that. Certainly by two animals, which is a much longer, substantial cut. Look, even by a single animal that's being shechted in a single directional motion, you just told me the knife has to be 4 inches plus a bit more. You're going to tell me that now that he's cutting two animals, it's enough to have an even shorter knife, the length of just one neck? Apparently, when the Mishnah speaks about meloit savar, it's referring to the additional length beyond the base length, beyond the neck width. Maloy tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarim. It means like this. Aside from the knife being 4 inches plus 4 inches to accommodate both necks, you need an additional plus 4 inches more. Shmamina, that teaches us that when Mishnah refers to the phrase maloy tzavar, that's the additional length besides the base length. Chutz l'tzavar, beyond the neck. Shmamina. So hence, when he's cutting a single animal in one shot, in one motion, it needs to be maloy tzavar beyond the base. So the base is 4 inches, 4 more inches to accommodate a proper cut. When it's two animals side by side, you need 4 inches plus 4 inches, plus beyond, we need another 4 inches. So we give him a discount. You don't have to have 4 times 4, 3 times 4 is enough. That's enough to accommodate a proper cut. When do we have these length, you know, requirements? That's only when he's coming across but not back, or back and not forth. It's a single cut. However, if he chooses to go back and forth and just cut and cut, back and forth, length of knife is not a factor. In fact, the Mishnah says, "Afilu kolshu, afilu beizmel ksheri." Even if it's a very short knife, even just a izmel, like a scalpel, like a little razor, it's okay. Because he's just going to go back and forth until he cuts properly, without resorting to pressing down and pressuring the neck. Amar Menashe. Let me explain to you what the Mishnah meant when it said you can use an izmel beizmel, provided that this izmel does not have any pointy, you know, like these little horns, shein lekarnayim, which sometimes they would do for ornamental purposes. Because if it does, then you're running into the issue that perhaps the izmel will slip and the pointy edges will poke into the animal, make it a treifa. Omelet of Achabed of Avil of Menashe. Machtomai, what about, what would you say about using a needle, but back and forth, until it's cut? Machtomai, Amrle says, no, that's going too far. Machtom, mivza, buzza, a needle tends to poke. It's never going to do a proper cut. Even if it's taken back and forth, it's just going to rip. Next question. Machta de ushkefimai. Ushkefi are the leather workers. So what about their sort of needle? It's a thicker needle, with has a little more body to it. It's wider, has a little bit of a length to it. So perhaps that's better. And that can be used to do shechita, provided, again, he goes back and forth until he cuts through. Amrle, he says, yeah, tanina. It would seem from our Mishnah that it's acceptable. Mishnah says, afilu kolshu, right? If he's going to be doing back and forth, even if it's kolshu, and then it says, even an izmel. So izmel, we know, is an izmel. What was the Mishnah referring to with the term kolshu? My love, we're assuming that the word koshu lasui is coming to cover this very tool, machta di ushkefi, to allow it. Lai, no, who says? Maybe it's an izmal. Again, back to that razor, that scalpel. But the machta di ushkefi perhaps is not acceptable. Scalpel, that's already mentioned in the next item in the Mishnah. Izmal, well, that's behedik tanila. Mishnah already explained that a second later. No, people should come in farish. Perhaps the Mishnah is just elaborating, explaining itself. My koshu, when I said kolshu, I mean the izmal. But perhaps the other item is not acceptable. I'll even prove to you that the Mishnah has this in mind. It's all about the izmal, but not the other item. Because if you're going to tell me that in fact machta de ushkefi is what the Mishnah meant, so once we know that's acceptable, despite its problematic configuration, hashta machta de ushkefi kshari, if you're allowing this type of tool, despite its misgivings, izmal bebaye? Of course, izmal would be okay. Izmal is even better than the machta de ushkefi that has those, you know, those those problematic, you know, which has those shortcomings, right? So if the machal yushkafi is shy, of course, ismo v'boy, it goes without saying, why would I even have to mention the ismo? So the fact that the Mishnah did mention the ismo indicates to us that we're just talking about the ismo, not about the other item. No, who says? Perhaps item number one is machta de ushkafi. Then comes the ismo. Now, as to your question, why even mention the ismo once you mentioned the first time? Well, you know what? Ismo is also pretty tricky. And it needs to be stated that it's okay, because ismo, it's trichle. The Mishnah did have to elaborate and specify to allow the ismo. Why not? Why would I think it's a problem? Remember, a minute ago we spoke about this ismo that has these protruding sharp edges. Perhaps I would say, Ligzer, I shouldn't allow even a regular ismo, which doesn't have those problematic horns. Don't allow it. Otto, because it might lead you to use the problematic one, which is unacceptable. Ismo sheishel karnayim. Kumash one comes to Mishnah and says, you know, we know you'll be careful. So again, perhaps the Mishnah is merely referring to the ismo and not the machta de ushkafi, so we don't really have a resolution on that question. Okay, in conclusion, if one chooses to do a shechita with a single directional motion, then he must ensure the knife is long enough to accommodate a proper shechita and to avoid drasa, pressing down. However, if he chooses to go back and forth, then pretty much any instrument is okay if it will affect a proper cutting motion, as opposed to the needle, which is a pricker. The machlo ushkafi we left unresolved. Continues the Mishnah. What about intent? How critical is the element of intention, of kavana, in terms of the act of shechita? So we know that shechita has to be executed by a person. It has to be koyach gavra, like by Nitilas Yadayim, right? You have to be, has to be human made, human done. An act of a person. But how involved must that person be? Is it enough that it's his physical expression? Or does he have to have that mindfulness as well, the kavana as well? We all know that by karbanos, we learned this back at the end of Menachos, right? It has to be with kavana, with cognizance. I am doing a shechita on a karban. But by chulin, it's not so simple. Let's see the Mishnah. Naflo sakad mashachtu. There was a knife sitting on the table and it dropped off the table on its own. A wind came and blew it. Afal bishu shachtu kedarka. Even if the knife accomplished a proper shechita, a kosher shechita, you check the animal is properly shechted. Psula, unacceptable. Because it was not done by a person. Shanamar, the pasuk says, vizavachta, what you slaughter, v'ochalta, you'll eat. Masha ato, zavech, what you shech, ato, ichal, you'll eat. It has to be a man-made shechit. Now, time of the nachal, says the Gemara. Apparently, the issue is because the knife just dropped down on its own, without human involvement. However, he pila who, suppose he flicked it off the table, without realizing that there's an animal that is going to do shechit. So, there was physical human involvement, but not mental human involvement. Proper shechita, even though he had no intention to do shechita. That's enough. Masa is enough without kavan. Who's speaking in this Mishnah? Mantana. Who's the one that holds that kavan, intent, cognizant, is not a requirement when it comes to shechita of chulin, of regular animals? Amarava, Rabbi Nasani. In fact, it's Rabbi Nasan. The Tani Aisha Zira, that was his name, the young Aisha, Dibin Chavraya, one of the colleagues, one of the members of the yeshiva, he presented a halacha, which relates to this type of scenario. It's a mass of a person without kavana. Zorak Sakan Lunatsa Bakoisal. He's holding a knife and he's doing, you know, target practice against the wall. So he threw the knife against the wall, and lo and behold, it encountered an animal, and he did shechita. V'olcha v'shechta kedarka, and it did a proper shechita. So, it was man-made, but without intent. Rabbi Nosson Machshir said it's acceptable. V'chacham and poislim, kont chacham, no, you need kavana. Hu tani lo. So the one who presented this braisa, this halacha, he presented the braisa and he concluded that in fact, the accepted practice is in fact Rabbi Nosson. All you need is the act, the mass of the person without the kavan. Now, Rava was the one who pointed out that our Mishnah implies, infers Rabbi Nosson's opinion. Ask the Gemara, Va'amra Rava Chadazimna. I mean, so you tell me that there is a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, in line with Rabbi Nosson, which indicates that that's how we paskin, right? The thing is, Rava already pointed this out in the past. In that first Mishnah, back in the beginning of the Masechta, that there's a Stam Mishnah, which infers like Rabbi Nosson, right? So why this redundancy? V'amra Rava Chadazimna. Rava himself already pointed out this inference back in the first Mishnah. The Snamia, the Mishnah, right, by the unqualified Shoichtim, the Cheirish, the Shoita, the Katan, the minor, they don't have a fully developed mind. So they're not to be trusted, but it's not, the Mishnah says, if there is supervision, it's okay. B'kulin sheshach to all those individuals who did shechita, v'acherim ro'in oisan, under supervision of an adult, shechitasin is kshira. And the question was, v'amrin, the question was asked, fine, it was executed by a person, but there was no proper kavana, right? The katan, the cherish, their mindfulness is not really fully developed. They don't have the ability to have kavana. Rabbi, the question was posed, so why is it acceptable? Man tana deloy bayi kavana l'shchita. Who's the one that supports this concept that shchita does not require kavana? Once again, Rabbi tells us, the Mishnah is reflective of shita Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson. So the question is, why does Rabbi have to point this out twice? That the Mishnah there, like the Mishnah here, is in line with Rabbi Nosson. It's a Stam Mishnah, that's how we pass. Tzricha, there's a point that's being brought out in each one, unlike the other. Tzricha, di Yashmin and Hassan. Had Rebbe only mentioned this point back in the Mishnah and Daf Beis, I would say, yeah, there Rabbi Nosson allows it, Mishum, to come Mechav Nushum Chaticha Ba'olim. After all, the child is intending on cutting. He doesn't have proper kavana for the act of Shechita. That's, you know, that's beyond his capacity, but he's cognizant of the fact that he's cutting. So perhaps that's a notch up, and that works. But in our case, we simply flick the knife off the table without any plan of doing shechita. He's not even trying to cut anything. Emily, perhaps that's even worse. And even Rabbi Nosson would not accept that. On the other hand, had Rabbi only pointed out in our Mishnah that it works, I would say, yeah, here, because after all, it was a bendas, a fully mature adult with a developed mind. So perhaps in this case, since he was the one involved, it counts as shchita, aval hosam, as opposed to that first Mishnah where it's a minor, it's a deranged person, it's not happening by a bendas, through a mindful person, through a mature person, emole perhaps. Even Rabbi Nosson would not accept it as a proper shechita tzricha. Hence, both inferences, both the yukim, in either case, Rabbi Nosson would accept it as a proper shechita, because after all, as long as it was a mass of a person, it works even without das. Okay, so at the end of the day, we have a machlekes between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbanon. What extent of human involvement is required for shechita of chulin? Again, for shechita of kachim, of course, we need a higher level of kavana according to all shechitas. We need his act, we need his intent, we need his kavan. But by shechita of chulin, of regular animals, Rabbi Nosson says, masa of a person is enough without kavana. Chacham require kavana as well. Now we shift to a similar topic, which will have some parallels to the shechita discussion. But we're speaking about being toivel in a mikvah. Itma, we have a discussion. And the question will be, likewise, how much is needed intent, kavana, right? So we have a nida shenensa, nida that was a woman that was impure, and she was sort of forced to be tevel. She was thrown into the water, v'tavla. Okay, she immersed, but it was without intent, without cognizance, without kavana. So what happens? What's her status? There was an immersion, so in terms of the, you know, physical phenomena, yeah, there was an immersion in the water, but the mind wasn't there. Amar Avidam Rav, so Rav says, it works. Tahir Lebesa. She's tired for her husband, so it's not chula, it's not kachem, it's not truma. For that, she's completely tired. And her husband interacts with her, there's no curries, as it would be if she'd be tummy. So that's off the table. But if she's a kayin, she can't eat truma. Because in order to purify yourself with respect to truma purposes, the mind has to be involved. You almost have to purify your mind as well. Physically immersing in water is not sufficient to accomplish purity regarding truma. So truma needs a higher level. That's a given. But regarding chulin, mundane matters, like a rosh, for that Rav says, a tefillah without kavanah is enough. For Rabbi Yechon, Amar, he disagrees. No. You want to accomplish tefillah, it has to be a comprehensive experience. Mind and body. Afla beisa leitara. Even with respect to her husband, she's not considered tara. A tefillah is only with kavanah. Which, in this case, didn't happen. Amale Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman. L'Rav, according to Rav, who says a tefillah without kavana works regarding truma, right? D'amar tahir l'beiso. Regarding the husband, she's tahir. There's no kares anymore. But regarding truma, which would potentially involve iser of misa b'dei shemayim, if one needs truma, one needs tameh, there's misa b'dei shemayim, misa by heaven, which in a way is less severe than kares. Rashi explains kares affects a person's children. So how could you explain that? With respect to husband, which is a kares issue, she's okay. Tahir l'beiso. With respect to truma, which is a less severe issue, for that it's not sufficient. Vasur lecho b'truma. How could you explain that? Avon kares hutra. The kares issue was cleared. Yisur misa meboy. If that cleared, doesn't it go without saying that misa issues, which are less severe, certainly would have been accommodated? Amalei says no. Look, it's not about severity. There are different tracks. This requires one thing. This requires something else. Amalei says, Bala chulinu. With respect to her husband is chulin. It's not truma, it's not kachim. V'chulin lo yibayi kavana. For matters of chulin, kavana is not a requirement. As opposed to truma, where it is. No, umana temra. How do we know that regarding chulin, kavana is not a requirement? So, just simply immersing physically is okay even without mindfulness. It's not, we have a Mishnah, galshin itlash. So this huge wave came flying off the sea, containing the right amount of water, 40 sa, which is the required amount of water for tefillah. And the fellow standing there, and landed on a person who was tameh. All utensils that were tameh tahirin. They have now achieved tahara. It's like they immersed in a mikvah. Now, was there kavana? We'll assume there wasn't. Why? Because the Mishnah is sort of drawing a parallel case. Adam and Kalim. My love will assume one is similar to the other. Adam, Dumi, the Kalim. The case of the person being hit by the water is similar to the case of the Kalim, which has no kavana. Ma Kalim, lemichami. Certainly the Kalim have no kavana. Rashi says they have no das, right? They're not thinking about becoming tar. Av Adam, nami, lebe, kavana. Likewise, the case of the person being hit by the water is a case of a fellow who wasn't really planning, wasn't really intending. Apparently, you don't need kavana to become tar. Who says? Mimai, who says? Maybe he was planning, he was anticipating. Trying to save a dollar on the mikvah, so he stood near the sea waiting for a big wave to wash him over. Perhaps we're speaking that he's sitting and waiting, expecting it to happen. There was kavanah. When will this wave detach and come upon me? Return to my base. And likewise by the kalim, even though they themselves have no intelligence, but perhaps somebody was taking care of them, looking after them. arranged for this water to hit him. The kelim do the adam, and the kelim is similar to the case of the adam with kavana. Ma adam do beinu kavana, just like by the person. The bar kavana was a man of intelligence. Av kelim nami, likewise by the kelim to come kavim lo adam. There was somebody there arranging for it to happen. So his intent, his kavana, by extension, applies to the kelim too. So who says we're talking without kavana? What's your right? Perhaps you'll respond. You'll say, well, why would the Mishnah speak about such an obvious case? If there's kavana, then it's obvious that it works. If he's sitting and waiting, why even discuss that? Well, it's not so simple. Perhaps you can say that it's not so clear cut. Ligzar, we shouldn't allow this to happen. Next time, he might utilize it like a running stream off the mountain, which is not suitable for tvila because it's in motion, right? A mikveh has to be stationary, set in the place, right? As opposed to just water flying off the mountain. So perhaps we shouldn't allow him to utilize this wave, even though it's going to come land on him, which makes it stationary and makes it fit for tvila. But people are not so, aware, and they're not so clear, and if we allow this, he's going to go and use the other thing. So perhaps we shouldn't allow the system. Inami, another concern would be Ligzer Rosh not to keep him. We shouldn't allow him to use a wave, because now he knows that the Russian, it's the head, meaning when it lands down on him, he's tired because the water has now landed. But perhaps next time, Otto Kippen, he might go ahead and use the Kippen, the dome part, while it's still suspended in the air, before it landed on him, which is not suitable for tefillah, because you can't use water flying in the air. Kamash Malon, like Azrina, comes to the mission and says, you know what? We assume he's educated enough, he knows what he's doing, he'll research the matter, and he'll only use it in the proper way. Now, once on this topic, the Gemara asks a side point. The Manoah Tamer, who's to say even the Lemat Bilinam the Kippen, he can't use the dome part of the water, of the wave, that's not. We have a Mishnah, Mat Bilin Berashim, you could be Tevel on the Rosh, on the part which lands on the floor. Ve'ein Mat Bilinam the Kippen, he can't be Tevel on the one that's still suspended mid air. She'ein Mat Bilinam the Abri, he can't be Tevel mid air. Okay, so we pretty much negated this attempted proof, because we thought we had a case of a Mishnah where there was no kavana involved. Apparently you don't need kavana for tefillah. Who says? Maybe there was kavana. The Mishnah is just highlighting that we allow it despite our misgivings. So back to the question. Ella chulin teloi boi kavana miyaminola. End of the day, how do we know that kavana is not a requirement in terms of being tevil for chulin? It's not. Here comes the Mishnah. So a sack of bananas dropped into the stream. Upasha, and he quickly runs to salvage his fruit. Upashat, who stretches out his hands? Mishiyod of Tumeis, a fellow whose hands became tummy. Now we're talking about a limited type of tumma. It's not a tumma midaraisa. Certain type of situations where a person's hands are tummy, only his hands, which requires a tvila of just the hands. So he quickly ran over to the bananas, stuck his hands into the water. Vinatlan pulled out his bananas. So what happens? Yod of Tahiris. Circumstantially, even though there was no intent to purify his hands, but by circumstance, they've been in the water, they become tahor. However, the fruit are not susceptible to tumah, which means to say, typically, if water is placed upon fruits, they get wet, they are now considered rinsed and ready for tumah. If tumah touches them, they become affected by that tumah. But in this case, it's not so, because the water in the stream was never really designated for personal use, and therefore it doesn't have the ability to affect, the heksher on the fruit. Because after all, he wasn't trying to do anything with the water, he was just trying to get his bananas out. But before we continue, nevertheless we see, despite his lack of intention, his hands became tar because circumstantially they were in the water. So we see from here that for tevila of chulin, we don't need kavan. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Let's just continue the Mishnah. However, if his intent was to rinse his hands and purify them in the water, what happens now? Yod of Torah, so certainly his hands become Torah, his hands are Torah. However, now once he made use of that water, it's considered like he designated the water for personal use. So now the fruit in there, by coming into contact with this water, are now susceptible to tumah. Okay, at the end of the day we see tvila regarding chulin can work even without kavon, as per this fellow, who's only plan was to get the bananas out in the first scenario, and still his hands become torn. That's a right to Rav, that tefillah without kavana works for chulin. Esve Rava, I have a question. Rav Nachman, you're telling me tefillah without kavana works? Tava lechulin, vuchzik lechulin. Mishnah says, be immersed for the sake of purifying himself for chulin purposes, vuchzik lechulin. And in fact, his mind was on it, as she says, neskavein b'shas tefillah lekach. That was his intention. That was his mindset. So it was mind and body involvement. He's okay for chulin, but asr la maser, he can't partake in maser. Why? Because for maser, you got to have a higher level tefillah. You have to have mindfulness for maser. It's all about, you know, what you had in mind. Okay, now, let's make a diyuk. Huchzak in, the Mishnah seems to say that even regarding chulin, you need to be huchzak. You need kavana, you need mindfulness. Lo yichzak lo, but without that huchzak, it doesn't work. Hachikamah, the Mishnah just means like this. Of course, for chulin, per se, you don't need kavana. The Mishnah is trying to highlight something. Afal pish yichzak lechulin, even though he had kavana for chulin, don't you think that kavana works for everything? It's still asr l'maser, because you have to have specific kavana for maser to get clearance for maser. But again, regarding chulin, perhaps kavana is not required. Esvei comes another kasha on this opinion. Tavo lo yuchsa ki lo tavo. So he went to the mikvah without kavana. It's as though he never immersed. My level, let's assume what it means is ki lo tavo klal. It's as though he didn't immerse at all. Even regarding chulin, it's considered tamei. Lai, no. Ki lo tavo la maser. It means it's as though it never happened regarding maser. Avo tavo la chulin. But regarding chulin, it's okay. Now, who's Savar? He thought that he was just like sort of shoving him away with this answer. It's not really the literal meaning of the halacha. The chuyi kamatchil, just pushing him away. But really, Nafak, he went out, dug ba'ashach, he investigated further, and he discovered a brisa in line with this opinion. The son, we have a brisa. Tavo lehuchsak, he immersed without kavano. Muta lechulin, he can have chulin. Vasal maser, but not maser. So that supports this approach. Okay, so far we have several rayos to Rav that regarding chulin matters, one can achieve purity by simply immersing in a mikveh even without intent, cognizance, plan, or purpose. Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yehuda, Eva Kashi says, remember there was an opposing shita, Rabbi Yechna, who says that even for chulin matters, tefillah involves the mind. Leima tehavit yiftu Rabbi Yechna miho, perhaps this brisa, which teaches that tefillah without kavana does work for chulin, is going to be a refutation of Rav Yechon's opinion. Amalei says, yeah, you're right, but actually, it's a long-standing dispute. It's a machlekes tanaim as well. And Rav Yechon will adopt the opposing view. Amalei Rav Yechon, who the Amar Rav Yenisa ben Yosef, he's following the other tana, the Sanya. Rav Yenisa ben Yosef Omer. So we shift to the halacha ben nega. You have a garment, has a white blotch, a nega. The Kohen instructs them to immerse it in a mikveh first, and then lock it up for 7 days, and then after 7 days the nega is gone, you immerse it again, and then it completes the purification process, it's completely tahar. So Pasuk says, after 7 days, v'chubas shenis, rinse it again, you immerse it again in a mikveh, right, second time, now the word second, the number seems to be superfluous. We know it's the second time. It said Yemersa once, and now it's again. Why Shenis? In any case, the pasuk concludes with Kubas Shenis Vitahar, and that purifies it. Matamim Shenis, says the Gemara. What's the point of adding the number two? It's obvious. It's meant to connect the second time to the first time. Makish Tachboisis Shenia. The pasuk here is relating, correlating, connecting the second rinse, the second immersion in the mikvah, the tachbois is to the first one. Just like over there it says, the Kohen will instruct them to do it. Ma, tachbois is Rishon, just like the first experience was ladas, with mindfulness, with purpose, the Kohen instruct them to do that. Av tachbois is shnir ladas, likewise, the second one, must be with das. In order to achieve purity, tefila needs to have das. Well, says the Gemara, if you're going to connect it, perhaps connect it all the way. only by way of the Kohen's instruction, right? Imala halan, so perhaps just like the first time around, ba'inon das Kohen, knew the Kohen around. Avkan, ba'inon das Kohen, perhaps here as well, the Kohen must instruct them to do. Tamalaymar, Pasuk concludes with the word v'tayr, which says, in any case, mekol mokim, either way it works. In any case, here we have the Shita, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, who insists on kavana, mindfulness, awareness, cognizance, to accompany a tevila. Hence, Rabbi Yochanan's source for his opinion. Maskevelo Rav Simi Bar Ashi, I have a question. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, a tevila must have kavana. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, is that so? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is so. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself tell us halacha kista mishnah, we're typically meant to follow an anonymous mishnah. So the halacha adopts the opinion of an unnamed mishnah. And now we have a mishnah in our sugya, in our page, in our daf, in Amud Aleph. So now we circle back to the mishnah by us, relating to a similar topic, mindfulness, regarding shechita. And the Gemara connects the two. The Yerusha Mecha explains there are similarities between the two things. They're both trying to transform something. Shechita transforms an animal which is asur into something which is permissible. And likewise, tevila is a transformative process, transforming something which is tummy into something which is tar. We assume they're pretty much on a similar track. And what does the Mishnah say regarding the kavana element by shechita? It's not required. It's not. The Mishnah says, naflo sakin v'shachta, the sakin fell off the table and did shechita. Even though it happened properly, meaning it was a proper shechita, psula doesn't work because, why? The question was asked, time of the nafla, it appears, the issue is because the knife just tripped off the table on its own. There was no human involvement. Ha hi pilahu. However, if he himself tripped it off the table, so there was human involvement. Kshera. It's a proper shechita v'avgav l'mechaber. Even though there was no mindfulness, he had no kavana for the shechita. V'arminan, and we had said on that, right? Man tana d'loyboy kavana l'shechita. Who's the one that does not require kavana by shechita? Avama Rava Rav explained, that's Rabbi Nasani. So by shechita, the consensus is, we do not need kavana, so why would Rabbi Yochanan insist on kavana by tefillah? Right? Because that's the halach. Rabbi Nasani. So that's the Gemara. No. There's a big difference between shechita, where the pasuk indicates to us that other than, you know, the shechita of karbanis, which needs kavana, otherwise, shechita schulin does not need kavana. Be shechita with matters of shechita, afilu Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, moidi. Even Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef tells us that by the nega, by the garment, tevila needs kavana. By shechita, he agrees it doesn't need. By way of inference, midigali rachmana, since the Torah reveals to us misasak bekadoshim, when one is engaged in shechting a karban and he's misasak, preoccupied, he's not being mindful of what he's doing, it is possible, because kachem needs mindfulness, needs kavana, mechlal. What does that tell us about a regular shechita, of a mundane animal? Mechlal dechulin does not need loiboyin and kavana. Okay, so again, regarding shechita, it depends. So let's sort of divide into four levels, four categories. Most basic, level one, is without human involvement. The knife just fell off the table. All agree it doesn't work. Why? The Mishnah brings the pasuk. V'zavachta. What you do, you can eat. It has to be by way of human involvement. That's level one. Let's jump to the other extreme, other side of the spectrum, level four, which is by karbanos. The pasuk says, L'ritz ha'inchem tizbachu, has to be with kavana, with mindfulness, with purpose and plan. That's level four. What about level two and level three? Level two would be, it was man-made, but without kavana. Rabbi Nasan tells us that's okay. Only karbanis need kavana, not chulin. V'rabbanan says the Gemara. However, the Shittas Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Nasan, they hold, look, we concede, of course, you don't need level four by chulin, but nihidib lo'beinin kavana l'zvicha, it's true, you don't need kavana for shechita, you don't have to have that focus that I'm doing shechita. That's only by karbanis. But l'chaticha b'inan, at least, have in mind that you're cutting something. That's level three. You don't need level 4. Focus on the act of shechita, but you have to know that you're cutting. At least be aware that you're cutting something. And that works by chulin, nechaticha ba'inan. Okay, so in conclusion, level 1, where the person was not involved at all agree it doesn't work. It's not a shechita. Level 4, where you knew exactly what you were doing. You were doing shechita. That works by karbanis. That's required by karbanis. But by chulin, Rabbi Nosson says, level 2 is enough. Let it be a person doing it, but even without kavana, it works. Rabbanan say, level 3 is required. A person with a limited kavana, knowing that he's cutting something, that's enough. Amar Rava says, Rava Baha, using this argument, Zakinu Rabbi Nosson over... triumph, so to speak. He won them over, the Rabbana over the Rabbana, meaning based on the following argument, it would appear to me that Rabbi Nosson's position is correct. Behoza kinu Rabbi Nosson Rabbana. Look, how do you get to level 3? Where did that come from? Miksiv v'chatachto? And the pasuk describes, you know, shechita by regular animal. Does it say v'chatachta cut v'zavachta? It says you have to do shechita. So look, ibo'inin kavan l'chaticha, if you are requiring intent for cutting, afilu l'zvicha nami liboy, so then you should go up to level 4 and require kavana for shechita by chulin. Ibo'inin kavan l'zvicha, if you're going to tell me, you don't need kavana on level 4 for Echulin because of that inference that only by Kachim that's required, not by Echulin, then who's to say that you need level 3? How do we get this new level? Look, either all the way up there or all the way down here. And Rabbi sided with this position. He says we don't really have a source for that sort of in-between stage. Hence, Rabbi Nosson's shita appeals to him better than Rabbana, and in fact, although by kachim you need level 4, but by chulin level 2 is enough. Human involvement without kavan. So all that is regarding shechita. Now let's shift over to tevila, which again is a similar concept where it involves a physical expression, and the question is, do we need mindfulness as well, or is immersion in the water enough? Rab says immersion is enough without kavana. Rabbi Yechon says kavana is required, and we link that to a machlekes tanaim as well. Says the Gemara, okay, so we're speaking about a nida was dropped into the water. How exactly? What were the circumstances behind this story? Echidami nida shenetsa v'tavel. How exactly did this happen? The nida ended up in the water. We're speaking that her friend tripped her into the water, so she was dunked by her friend. There is kavana there. Kavana de chaverta, the intent of her friend, by extension, applies to her victim as well. Kavana ma'ali, so that's a perfect kavana. She threw her in. So the perpetrator's kavana is applied to the victim, and the act of immersion was done with kavana. So there's no question. Void. Furthermore, with truma nami yochesh, she can go eat truma. It was done with mindfulness, like we said before. You know, with the kli, she arranged it. She threw her in. It's not as we have a mishnah that this allows you even to eat truma, which requires the higher level of purification with mindfulness. It's not a chareshes, it's vashoyt, vasom, shnishvadaita, deaf mute, deranged woman, blind, shnishvadaita. Mentally unstable. If they have, you know, an escort, somebody who's looking after them, who is cognizant, who is rational, they can fix them up, arrange for them to eat truma. So we see that the kavana of their escort can accomplish that. So what's the issue with the nida here? Omra Papa. Apparently we're speaking about a different type of scenario. She was not pushed in by somebody else, because in that case, it is considered with kavan. Although not the kavan of the victim, the kavan of the perpetrator. That would be enough. Rather, we're speaking that she herself somehow ended in the water on her own. Now, interestingly, the Gemara will now link back to the halach of shechita, to the definition of kavana by shechita. So, let's go back for a second to shechita. Rav Nosson says shechita has to be done by a person without kavana at all, even though he has no clue that he's even cutting anything. He just threw something off the table. That's enough. So likewise, by tevila, which, as we said, is a corresponding type of system, what defines a tefillah without kavana? She tripped into the water. There was no kavana at all, even to get wet. Amar Papa the Rav Nosson, shenafla ben agesher, according to Rav Nosson's definition of lack of kavana, he was speaking that she fell off the bridge into the water, unknowingly, unplanned. And still, according to Rav, it's okay because tevillah doesn't need kavana. Even a minimal level of kavana. However, Ulurabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that by shechita, they require level 3, right? They need some sort of minimal mindfulness. Kavana, at least, that he knows that he's cutting something. So correspondingly, by the tefillah, you need some sort of minimal degree of kavana to be even considered as an act of tefillah. You don't need a grand, comprehensive kavanah, perfect mindfulness. We need some sort of minimal intent. What happened when she went down to cool off? She went down to take a swim. So there was kavanah for this sort of interaction, for the physical aspect of the interaction, even though there was no mindfulness in terms of the end result of her interaction, which is purification by way of tevilah. So Gemara is assuming that just as Rav Nosson and Rabbanan have differing definitions regarding shechita shelo b'kavana, likewise by tefillah shelo b'kavana, according to Rav Nosson, even a basic tefillah without kavana at all would work. Likewise, according to Rabbanan, although it's not a perfect mindfulness, that's not required by shechita, nor is it required by tefillah, but you need some basic mindfulness that she knows she's interacting with the water, just as the fellow knew that he was cutting something, although he didn't realize it was a shechita. In any case, according to Rav, whichever definition you go with, tefillah shelo b'kavana works, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, even for chulin, kavana is required as per the shita of Rabbi Yonos and Ben Yosef. Okay, so in a nutshell, shechita needs kavana. Well, we sort of broke it down to 4 levels. Level 1 is the knife just fell off the table. There's no human involvement. It doesn't work. V'zavachta v'achalta. You need human involvement. On the other hand, by karbanes, l'ritzayichem, you need perfect mindfulness. L'shem shechita of the karban. What about Echulin? Level 2 is Rav Nosson, who says, as long as it was done by a person, even without kavana for chaticha, according to Rabbanan. Level 3 is required kavana chaticha. Regarding tvila, as Machlokes Amiroyim, Rav says tvila shelo b'kavana works, regarding, and Rabbi Yochanan holds you need tvila b'kavana. This corresponds to Machlokes Tanaim as well. Now, all agree that by Truma, Maser, kavana is required. There you have to involve the mind as well. But by Echulin, Rav says you don't. Even without kavana whatsoever. Now, what is considered without kavana whatsoever? We have 2 definitions based on the corresponding shita is by shchita. Okay, all the best to you and atzlacha rav.